For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend. But now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club. And let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give two chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me two chickens and go, here you go, here are two chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters. None of that does any good. But in developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the things we did not get to during the course of the show today. Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, so we were off for that. And the day before was like a snow day for us, man. Sunday was a lot of snow. I think we probably could have made it in on Monday if it hadn't been a holiday. But did you guys make the most of your 3-day weekend?
I think that we did not. In the sense that we helped some friends move on Saturday, and that was fun. Like, it was a good day, and we, you know, accomplished a lot for them. But then they have like three cats, and so for Sunday, and I'm not allergic to cats, but for Sunday, I inhaled a lot of dust and all that, so I was a little bit sniffly and meh all day. And then yesterday, gosh, we didn't do anything. Like, it was a couch and HGTV kind of day.
I did Lego yesterday, like nice. A Lego puzzle. We did a story about it, but that was what I did yesterday. It was actually kind of fun. Like, my wife likes puzzles. I don't care for puzzles. And so that was like a good combination between the two for us, and we could knock it out fast. Like, Betty Rock, you love puzzles. Like, what's the fastest you've ever done a puzzle in?
Oh, gosh. Maybe a week?
Yeah, exactly. See, that's exactly it. Like, I don't have the patience for that. So, like, in the course of, like, 2 hours, we could make this Lego puzzle thing. And I was down with that. That's I got into woodworking by turning bowls and pens because I like the idea of being able to take something from nothing and make a thing out of it within, like, an hour or two. Like, I like things that are quicker like that. I don't like the project. When I'm building furniture and the project takes me 2 weeks, by the end of it, I'm just done. Like, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know?
When do you hit the point of, like, sheer annoyance?
A little bit. Like, it depends on if I've had problems with it or not. If it's been fighting me, then really early on. But then a lot of times, like, I'll get it built and I'm like done. I'm like, yes, I'm done building. Then I have to finish it. And that takes another 4 days, like with all the different stains and coats of poly and all that other stuff. Like, so that's the part I hate the most. I like the building part, but I hate the rest of it. Rock, what'd you do?
Pretty much nothing.
That a girl.
Nice. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to do. It was wonderful. I slept late and sat on my tuchus.
Yeah.
On the couch and watched TV a lot and just watched the snowfall. It was restful for me.
Not me. I'm like, honey, we're making the most of this. We're going to be stuck in the house. We're doing stuff. Goodwill is going to be getting a lot of stuff from us.
Oh, nice.
We cleaned out a whole second. We cleaned out three rooms in our house. And so then we also donate a bunch of stuff to like Shower Up, which is this homeless thing, a ministry that a friend of ours runs. And so we give a bunch of stuff to them as well. And it was so great for that, man. Like, oh my gosh, this felt so good. I've got rooms back in my house again. Mm-hmm. And like, it's spring cleaning, but in January, which felt awesome. So nice. that was a win for me for sure. Other big news, Gavin is now part of the iPhone. Yes, and he took the case off. He had a girl case on there. He got a beautiful red iPhone, and then he girled it up with like a translucent gold case.
So it
looked like something a mermaid would have.
It was one of the three cases that my wife let me borrow.
Let me ask this question. Yes. Wally, let's say you got that phone.
Yes.
And you didn't have a case for it.
Yeah.
Would you take that case?
Absolutely not. I'd go for a couple days
and hope that
and
you
risk
didn't break.
It.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and so like I would not use like one of my wife's Mickey cases or something, you know.
it was that one that I took off, and I'm risking every time I
Attaboy.
Put it in my pocket now. It was that. It was a Lilo and Stitch one, which, you know, cute, but, yeah. you know, thought it would be more obvious that it wasn't my case. And then the other one was a one that has, like, all this loose gold.
You should have gone with that one.
No. And he thought the more manly option was the mermaid.
Yeah.
It's not a mermaid.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's so good. Well, are you getting all of your stuff because I've always bought iPhones. So transferring from iPhone to iPhone is really simple. Is that the case with your Android, or has it been a problem?
No, it was a problem.
Yeah.
So it came on Saturday, and then I had to download the Move to iOS app on both phones, and that would allow me to transfer the data from my Pixel 2 to the iPhone.
Right.
And then every time I would do that, it would ask me what I wanted to transfer, and I'd be like, everything.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, okay, here's a tire rating. I'm like, okay, cool. Walk away, come back, it would say error.
Oh.
And so it did that 3 or 4 times, and eventually all I did was I ended up just going to the same app and doing transfer via... I think I did iCloud backup or something.
Yeah.
And it confuses me because it literally took everything. At first, what it did was it took contacts and messages and stuff from when I had an iPhone 5.
Oh,
back in 2017. I could see texts from back in 2017. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to manually add all of you guys back in at first. So I was like, okay, that'll be a bummer. But then the next day, I was kind of looking through it again, and I was about to get to work on that, and I saw that everything was there.
Oh.
And so that's when I texted you guys.
Oh, nice. So it just took a little bit of time for it to port over.
Just took a minute, but I'm back. And now all I have to do is I'm still shifting through apps and passwords that I have to now remember.
Because
I've been logged in for years on the Pixels, and now I'm like, what's my banking info for?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I haven't had to actually put in my password for that for a couple of years. So
I got a new computer at work because mine was 6 years old, something like that. So it had just run its course. And the process of that, like transferring stuff over, most everything went over, but then it was all of the passwords and all the things you've saved for different sites, because we look at specific sites every day. None of that stuff transferred over. And then certain programs didn't. So it's like, oh my goodness. It took me the better part of a week to first and last, kind of like, I brought 2 computers in for a week. I brought my old one in and my new one in, because I knew worst case scenario, I could get to my old one and everything would work, you know, like slow, but it would work. And then like trying to get onto our network here with my new one was a pain. And so I'd have to go get with like our engineer after the show and fix one thing. And then the next day, another thing and another thing. And so it just took me a full week to get everything assimilated, which was kind of like,
sure.
But it's worth it.
Oh, it's definitely worth it. So welcome, 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 welcome.
It feels nice. I'm still, I was telling Betty at one, like I'm still having moments of adjusting and like figuring out like, where do I swipe down from? Where do I swipe up from?
But this is like, but again, it's a transition, but it's like you were homeless and now you have a home.
Thank you.
Yeah, like that's a big deal. Like this is a big deal. Like you traded for the better. let me see. Let's get to some of the stuff we didn't get to. This was kind of new. You know Edwin the Bagel Guy?
Yes.
Edwin the Bagel Guy sent us some gifts. Usually he sends us bagels every once in a while. Awesome dude. His family's great. And so he sent us like some Christmas stuff and he's like, I'm so sorry. Things got hung up at Amazon. And so... here you're getting it. And so there's a couple things in here. Not everything came. There's other stuff that's back ordered. And so the good news is my thing came. And this was interesting. This one came for you, Betty Rock. And he says, you know about this. The light is for Betty.
Yes, he messaged me about it on Instagram.
Here, let me give this to you.
Oh.
It's a 3D lamp light or something?
I think what it's supposed to do is be like a... sunset or something.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be nice.
I'm not really sure.
That would be really nice, actually. I thought that it was like, because Gavin, he had something for you that's kind of Star Wars related.
Awesome.
And so that's still coming.
Oh, it's still coming. Okay.
Yeah, it's not here yet.
That is fun.
And then I have some, I don't know if I'm going to have to put this together or not, or if I can just shoot you with it.
That's Star Wars-y.
Oh, this is pretty great. It's like an unboxing video without the video. I had something like this when I was a kid. Oh, I'm going to have to put it together. Oh, shoot. I was hoping I could just open it up and shoot you right now. It's this air bazooka thing.
It looks like a car vacuum.
Yeah,
just
like
based on the initial pieces.
Yeah, you basically pull this thing out and it like sends like a shockwave of air. It's like poof. I used to have one of these as a kid, and it was so great. It makes a loud noise too. So I'm gonna have to figure this out. But Edwin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Edwin.
We will be shooting people in no time with the air bazooka for sure.
Never mind.
Even has a handle. No. All right. So some other stuff for the day here. Let me see. Where did it go? Have you seen that robo dogs and therapy bots are actually becoming more cuddly? So, like, ooh. People like therapy animals can be problematic. You can't take them on planes and stuff. So they're turning to the world of artificial intelligence.
Yes.
For these kind of things. Are you down with this, Rock?
No.
Oh, okay. It's creepy.
Yes. I saw a video over the weekend of this robot that it blinked its eyes and it talked. It was just weird.
Yeah, there's a robot for kids that does this, too. And they're like saying, well, it's really good for kids and their development and things like that. Like, they call them social robots. And so I'm curious if it's something, too, that could be one of those things that does help kids, like, say, that have Asperger's or on the spectrum or something like that. I'm curious if these things would be almost a source of companionship for them as well.
Like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I thought that'd be kind of dope. But then there is a new group of cyber pups that are snuggly. They're about $3,000 for these things.
That doesn't actually seem as high as I would think.
Really? Okay. So
unless they look like toys.
Yeah. No, they look a little bit more real. But yeah, I don't know how you get the sensitivity or the actual like I don't know how you emulate that kind of thing. You can emulate motion and sound and things like that, but there's something about a dog, like the way a dog just looks at you, like, oh, that dog loves me.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't see you getting that from a $3,000 robot, you know, but it's less,
I don't know,
of a headache.
The moments though when, at least with my dog, when they want to do something all the time, like when Ellie wants to play all the time, that can be a little annoying. When she wants to be loved on and cuddled, that's fine. But with the robot, you just wouldn't have to deal with that.
Yeah, it is. We always talk about the things as you go down the line and you extrapolate something out where human interaction is very different, you know, and it can be something you have to navigate, but it can be one of the things that is very fulfilling in your life. And one of the things we've done with kids is we've made them more and more disconnected while connecting them, you know, because you've got social media and you can text people. Kids don't know how to talk on the phone with each other. And like, even with my daughter at her age and like going for jobs and things like that, you're like, well, just, you know, call them and have a conversation. I'll just text them because it's become like the norm, you know, because they don't have to have an interaction that could be awkward, you know. Like I was negotiating for a car and recently and I left the place and they called me back. We can do a different deal. And I still wanted to do another round of, negotiation. And so I thought about texting because it's informal and I wouldn't get any pushback. I wouldn't get any objection. I could just say, well, here's where I'm at. Let me know if it works, you know. But then I was like, no, like I'm a person. And so I wanted
a person face.
Yeah. Like a face to face person. And I wanted them to hear my accent and hear the tone in which I'm delivering the message that I wasn't being a jerk, but I'm like, I want it for this, you know? And so I chose to call, whereas my daughter would have texted. But all of that to say, we get so disconnected that now all of a sudden, if you can manufacture your friends in these robots that are only programmed to do so much, you're going to be missing out on a lot of the things that God intended for us with people. You know, yes, it's easier. Oh, robot interactions. Because they just become a mirror of you. They just do what you want it to do and what you program it to do. They're not the full spectrum of the complexity that comes with human relationship. And I know that for some people, it probably is a good thing. But for a lot of people, I think it's just another layer of becoming more disconnected and more disenfranchised.
It doesn't demand anything out of you. Like, it doesn't demand you to grow or to put anything into anything at that point. That's what's so nice about relationships, even when they're like bad. Yeah. It like forces you to grow.
And it doesn't call you on things, because if you have good people in your life and friends in your life that call you on things, then you try to make changes, you know, and this would just let you stay in your path and in your lane. So anywho, well, Betty Rock, tell me what you got.
Well, what I got is someone who said this, and this is a quote.
Okay.
I'm a little frustrated with the world. I'm glad I'm old and won't be having to deal with where this stuff is going. That wasn't a quote from Wally.
It could have been.
It could have been. That was actually actor Sean Penn.
How old is he?
He's 61 years old.
Is he really?
That's younger than I actually
And of course,
thought.
He's not like, you know, old, but
thank
he's
you.
Getting up there. Well, you are that. Ancient.
No, he's but younger. He said, he's older than me.
He said, we give too much of a concern about what we are going to be accused of by people who want to be self-righteous because they can get a quick reward. And they're self-righteous hypocritically. So I guess he's seeing a lot of hypocrites out in the world. And definitely social media has made that possible, where you can easily post something and then 2 minutes later people are just telling you you're wrong. You're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't.
Right. I get kind of what he's saying, though, too. Like, what was his first quote again?
I'm a little frustrated. I'm glad I'm old and won't be able to, won't be having to deal with where this stuff is going.
Yeah. I mean, I get really super frustrated by political correctness, overly political correct things, and people not having a sense of humor and all of the... Like, just my generation is a little bit different, and my generation, my dad's generation before me, was different from me. And so I definitely get a little frustrated by the younger generation in a lot of ways. But I definitely think that there is something that as you're getting older, you do kind of like what he was saying, you do just get to a point where you just call it like you see it a little bit more, because you're not worried about the impact of it. You're not worried about the social context of things, you know, because you're not, you're technically, you know, a lot of older people, they're not online, so what do they care? You know, and it's like, you're not going to get blowback except from the one person you said something to. It's not going to become a thing where you get canceled, you know, because you had a take that someone didn't like. I think that's a big part of my problem, is that the idea behind cancel culture being, I disagree with you, and like, you didn't say something that was, you know, necessarily racist or necessarily anti-American or necessarily anti-Semitic or whatever. Like, but someone just doesn't like it and it doesn't jive with what they believe. And so this becomes a thing where people just want to cancel you, or you did something that was less than perfect, so you're canceled. You know, I think that's a dangerous thing when we get to that, because there's no room for grace inside of that. You know, and grace is something we all want when we mess up, but we're so slow to give to other people, you know.
Would you say, though, that cancel culture is the same as burning a bridge?
I don't know. I think it's worse, because I can burn a bridge with you because, like, of some interaction with us, but I don't go to everyone else and say, Betty Rock is the worst person on the planet, you need to get rid of her and don't even talk about her and blah, 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 blah. Like, I think there's a difference between having a relationship that doesn't go well, you know, that you're just at odds and you don't want that person in your life, per se, versus going out and I want to ruin them and I want to make sure that everybody sees them as the problem, you know, kind of thing. I think that's what cancel culture does.
I kind of see them as very similar.
Do you really?
Yeah, you're burning a bridge. That means you don't care what happens to them. You don't care what you say about them, because their opinion does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for grace in that either.
Yeah, but they might deserve it. It just depends if it's me doing it
or
not.
See, once again, we're so quick to see the negatives and...
I just set the tone. That's the
Generation
thing.
Z.
Yeah.
But the Generation X...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you feel like the... would you say in your life, given that you're the most, I think, emotional of the three of us.
Passionate.
Passionate, sure. Argumentative, maybe? Would you say that you
boy. Honest?
Would you say that? Oh goodness, that would be. Yeah.
He's living his truth.
I know.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. He's doing exactly what the Generation Z is doing. He's just using different words. And because he's using different words that are considered stronger, then right. that means he's stronger.
Right.
Mentally, physically, and.
Gavin, proceed.
In most of your cases, would you say that you were the, because I know you've had bridges burned. Would sure. you say that you were the primarily the lighter of said bridge, or was the other person more often the one who lit the fire?
Oh, no, no, no. 90% of the time, me.
That's what I thought.
Like 99% of the time, me. I've had a couple things. Like, yeah, but usually, like, especially like when I worked at a place, when it was time to go, it was because it got really bad. And like, now, it's not to say that I didn't have my reasons. Like, I might have disagreed with some boss over the way we were supposed to do things, and I thought I was right. And so I either left because of it when we couldn't come to an agreement, or I was asked to leave because we couldn't come to an agreement. So either way, like, yeah, they were done to me, you know, and I didn't look back. And for years, like years later, there were certain bridges that I know that I burned that I did go back and make right years later, because I thought it was, you know, I could see a different perspective years later in that, okay, yeah, I was being super, super hard on this person, or I wasn't in the right frame of mind with this, or I didn't have all the information. And so I had to go back and make some things right, for sure. So I'm not immune to that. But there are a couple bridges that are still burned that I think I was right on, you know, and so just stayed burnt. The ashes of my past.
Can't cross it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to have had somebody in your life, Rock, that you wrote off. Because you're being pretty superior
No, I'm not being superior. You can't help but have an opinion when someone else is being very vocal about their opinion.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Okay.
And polarizing, because that's the way I do life. I
so
say
it's not
things.
Superior. It's
right.
Someone could suggest that you're the one that's being superior because you're saying I'm in the right.
If you are right, then if that makes you superior, but you are right.
See, here, you have a sense of humor when it comes to justifying yourself,
right.
But if it's anyone else.
But
then
what if you are right, though? Like, I mean, honestly, like, okay, let's take, for example, I say that I think that black people should have every right that white people have, and we should be treated equally. And I'm right, because I do believe that. I think that's how we're supposed to live. But somebody else goes, well, that ain't right. That's not right at all.
Why do they have a Southern accent?
Because they do.
That's being racist.
I know. But because somebody could disagree with that. But and so I could write them off because I don't want that kind of person in my life that doesn't see that. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong. I'm 100% right, you know, in that case.
I think that's something, though, that's agreeable in the Bible. Like, that's something that the Bible could actually you could stand up with, and you could say, all men are created equal in the sight of God.
Right.
Okay. But let's go back to the reasons you burned bridges with other people in your past.
Right.
Was it something as definite as that?
Definitively right or wrong? No. No, definitely not. There were more judgment calls.
So then who's to say you're definitely right and they're definitely wrong?
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Right. I'm still right on a lot of those, you know, because it was what the right thing to do for the company was, or for the thing. And so I still believe.
In your opinion.
I still believe that I'm right. I have that conviction. Yeah. And there are certain convictions I have that somebody's not going to dissuade me on. But I will say, your thought about the big things and using the Bible as the barometer for right or wrong on those things, I think is smart and healthy. And then maybe if you do that, if you take it from that perspective, then maybe it helps you have a better perspective of the thing that you're dealing with. For example, I'll say something on the air sometimes, and people go, I thought you were a Christian. You're not even a Christian, because it has nothing to do with faith whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It was a joke or what have you. And so they instantly call my faith into question. Like, that infuriates me like nobody's business.
But you can back that up with the Bible.
What's that?
That we have no right to judge. God is the ultimate
right
judge.
So, like, I'm saying, like, things that, like, if I was to get on the air and say, you know, I don't think that Jesus is the Son of God anymore. you would have every right to call me out on that. Mm-hmm. And if you apply that to the to your standard, like you're saying, the Bible, mm-hmm. then you would be 100% right. And that would be your line of demarcation, the place that you say there's truth and there's not truth, and you are not talking about truth. And so, like, that's good. Now, if I say I think the Lord's coming back mid tribulation, mm-hmm. you know, and then you're like, you're not a believer, that's where it's a problem, because
mm-hmm. it's a difference
don't know.
Of opinion,
right? And we could never know. So I guess what I'm saying is, your thing, by putting something to the test of the Bible, if it doesn't fall into those really concrete things where there is interpretation, whether it's you know, loving people or whatever it is, that if you use that as your litmus test, it might also tell you, okay, this is not the thing I need to get bent out of shape about. Whether I dunk somebody underwater to be baptized or whether I sprinkle them, maybe this isn't the thing I need to start a new church over, you know, kind of thing.
Because I don't ever think that. And this goes back to what I was saying, the barometer is the Bible. Like, I could see where you would want to burn a bridge if it was someone who you had a very unhealthy, toxic relationship with, that they were abusive, whether physically or verbally. That's in your safety, you know, that you need to burn that bridge. I understand that. But I don't know if God ever wants us to really burn a bridge, per se, or cancel someone just because they have a difference of opinion.
Right. You know, I agree with that.
The Bible is actually like very anti-cancel culture because of the people that God uses in the Bible. Like, you would think that Saul, Paul would be the utmost cancelable human being before he became Paul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Bible also says where it's up to you, live at peace with people. Like, and 99% of the time, it is up to us. We have a choice whether we want to live at peace or not live at peace.
So, and if you have that in mind, and you look back at some of your decisions, would you have changed them, or would you have still done it?
I would hope that I would do it differently. I would hope now, based on what I know now versus when I was a young, hot-headed kid that, like, in faith wasn't guiding me, I would hope that I would make better decisions now. And I have made better decisions in my life. Like going back and apologizing to people that I wronged when I wasn't bound by Scripture, but now I am. It's like I wanted to make those things right because of the extension of my faith now. So I think that would I go back? I could probably look at 90% of my things that I drew a line in the sand on and blew something up over and go, that probably wasn't that big of a deal, you know, ultimately. But some of the things I paid the price for, and some things led me to something better, too.
True. So. But also, you have to keep in mind that Generation Z is in that age bracket that you were when you were more hot-headed and more opinionated.
Right.
And so there's got to be some understanding, some kind of
some grace for that.
Yes, some grace and mercy.
And remembering
because,
where I was.
Yeah, because at some point they're going to be your age, and then they're going to say, yeah, I probably shouldn't have canceled them. You know,
I would
something.
Do better with Generation Z, I guess, if they were more direct and like, just weren't so whiny about it.
Well, had more gumption.
Yeah, like just more like more bravado or whatever. Or just would would
have a
initiate
not have
debate.
A, yeah, have more of a leader mentality than a victim mentality.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, like discuss it. You know, like I would have much more respect for that than whining about a problem, doing nothing about it, and then just taking to Twitter and being like, you take that. You're like, I don't respect that.
Now, when you put it that way, I totally agree with you.
Oh, good. So we are the same. I love when we're the same person.
But it takes some time to really get down to the bottom of what you're ultimately trying to say, because when you first say it, it comes across as very...
That's very true.
...hard, very harsh, very cancel culture-ish. But deep down, I don't think you want
very
to...
very direct.
Yes, you are. But sometimes that can come across as like, my way or no way.
There are times that it is that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But when you get down to the meat and potatoes of it, what you're really trying to say is you want what's best for Generation Z or millennials, whatever. Yeah. You just wish that they had some more gumption in them, more of a leadership mentality. And I totally agree with that, because I will agree that looking back on my 36 years, the times where I did stand up for myself, or the times where I fought for what I wanted, are the best things that ever happened to me, but it took me having to get that courage and stand up to it. But I will agree with you on this too, that men, I think men in the Gavin's generation, younger, even some in mine, definitely don't have a leadership mentality at all. And so I think dating has become a problem. No, social media has become a problem. Like, and you see a lot of men that are questioning themselves, questioning their identity because they didn't have men in their lives. Right. But it's because we live in a sinful world, because then you can backtrack it to your generation, Wally, and you can say, well, their dads didn't step up to the plate and lead them in the way they should go because maybe they had so much pride in them because they were brought up in a mentality of you're a leader, you don't cry, you don't show emotion, sure. You never apologize, right. And you work until you're dead. Well, that's not healthy either.
I also think that my generation and your generation of women have been told to be more like leadership and been told to be more independent and stronger on their own.
If anything, it's been more about building up women than it has been men.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sometimes I think men feel like this need to take a backseat and not mansplain and not do things that do push women down more.
Because you are looked on as like you think you're better than us kind of thing. And it's really a double-edged sword because women want to be taken care of.
Sure.
Women want that comfort in knowing that they're loved and they're going to be put first.
Right.
But if you keep building up this mentality of we're on, and I do believe that we are created equal, but I also believe that God created certain, character. Yeah, roles.
Yeah.
In the house for men and women.
We're created equal, but we're created different. You know,
and that's not
a bad thing.
I do believe that men are supposed to be leaders. I think women can be leaders too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think there have been more women that have had to step up to that leadership role because men have become pansies and, sat down.
If you, and you can debate this all day, like,
am I a pansy?
Yeah.
You
sorry.
Do have a mermaid.
That was direct.
Cover.
That was a little direct.
So, but I'm not canceling you for it.
Thank you.
I think that men need to be better at being the spiritual leaders of their home. Because if you do that, if you step into that role, I believe that your family is going to work better. Because God set it up. Now, that's not to say that rule the house with an iron fist and my word is law and things like that. It is a partnership, you know, and there are things that my wife does better than me. There are things that I do better than her. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like this show. At the end of the day, there are certain calls that I have to make every day. Like when we're editing calls or whatever, whatever happens, there are certain things we all put input into it. And there are certain things that it's my decision that I have to make.
And I think that
there's good and bad that comes with that.
I think that a lot of good comes from it in the sense that sometimes we need to make like quick decisions.
Right.
And if you were like, all right, time out. I need a poll on what we need to do here. Right. Whereas you're the one who's been doing this for 30 plus years. Therefore...
Right,
like so I making executive calls makes a lot of sense.
But inside of my marriage, for example, there are things like big decisions my wife and I always make together. Inside of splitting up who does what inside the house, we figured out what works for us. Like is a guy that's a leader in the home. I think the problem is too when we talk about leadership. I think what we should be talking about is because leader has like this directive mentality to it. A lot of people think, oh, you're a leader, so you're directing, you're delegating, and that's what being a leader is. I think nothing could be further from the truth, and especially in your marriage or in your relationships, being a servant leader is the better way to lead. Like, so leading people by example, leading people through, like, caring for them, and so the same thing in your relationship is... It's not like, oh, you do this because I've told you to do it. Say, look, you're better at doing this. Like my wife, bills, exact perfect example. My wife is better at the bills and paying the bills than I am and making sure it's always done. She's so meticulous and she does it well. I would be an idiot to take that over. Now you could say, well, you're not the man of the family. You don't know how much money you have in the bank. Don't care. Like she's good at that and she'll let me know if I've spent too much and she gives me an allowance. It's great. No.
Good for you.
I think the difference is a lot of men feel like they do a lot of peacocking,
right?
Which is just fluffing their feathers and saying, "Look what I can do. This is mine. You can't have it."
Sure.
Whereas I think a better leader is one that leads with quiet confidence. They're confident in who they are as a person and in their leadership skills. They don't have to scream it at someone. Like, people want to follow them because they want to be more like them.
Right.
And so I think a lot of men feel like insecure, and so they don't feel like they can be that. So they're, and I'll say this too. It's true what the Bible says. If you put God first, everything else falls into place. Because if you're putting your spouse first,
right,
the one moment that they bite your head off because they're having a bad day, things will plummet because they're your rock.
Right.
Well, another sinful human cannot be your rock. It has to be God because he is the one that doesn't change. So if you put him first, your attitude's going to change, your leadership is going to change, your confidence will change, your leadership will change.
Well, it's interesting you bring this up because I pulled a couple things from our small group last night, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow. And one of the things kind of dovetails within that. And one was really funny. We were asked a question, how do you want to make people feel? That's what it is. How do you want to make people feel? And so everyone writes down their thing and puts it on a piece of paper, and then one person reads it and tries to guess whose is whose.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was really cool. But it was really funny when Rachel got to one piece of paper, she opens it up and goes, "Really?" And looks right at me. I'm like, "Hey,
what did you say?"
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Oh.
We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show.
I guess you said crappy.
No, but thank you.
Well, why would she go straight to you?
Because she knew it was my answer. Because everybody else's was flowery and happy and welcome and
what
all this other stuff.
What game was this?
I forget what it's called. It's not like Cards Against Humanity, but it's basically like a game like that where it's an open-ended question and you're trying to guess who responded.
I like that.
Yeah, I think we might actually, because we can use it for who on the show. So we're going to play with it with that. But anyway, so that's what we're
going
to do. You'll find out tomorrow.
Okay.
And you'll find out tomorrow
I'm
on the
still
podcast.
Going with crappy.
Nope, that's not it. All right, that's going to do it for your aftercast,
no,
unless we have birthdays.
We do.
Great.
Kimberly wants to wish her coworker, fellow zookeeper, Michaela,
nice,
a happy birthday.
I wanted to be a zookeeper.
Said she's so wonderful at her job. She goes above and beyond to care for her animals, help her coworkers, and leads being creative in ways we can be better stewards of God's earth. Oh, well, that's amazing. Alicia wants to wish her daughter, Lindsay, a happy birthday, saying she's a big fan of the show. It would make her big, beautiful smile bigger to hear you all wish her happy 28th birthday.
Oh, wow, that's a good
happy
one.
28th
yeah,
birthday!
Happy 28th!
Steffi wants to wish her sister, Emily, who's turning 25, a happy birthday. She's the one who introduced me to the Wally Show.
Nice.
Hey. And then Chantel, today is her birthday. Happy birthday. She said, "I'm French-Canadian, the good kind of Canadian."
No, everyone hates French-Canadians.
No,
that one actually sounds
worse. I never skip a day with you all for the past 4 years. You're my feel-good moment of the day. How sweet.
Nice.
Her question is, what is your biggest mess up in the kitchen?
Oh, I had been watching way too much Cooking Channel because they make you think that you can do anything. And so I was making something one day and I wanted to just add a bunch of random spices that I had. And I'm like,
that's
this
always
be good.
A good idea.
I know, right? You think, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And you're like throwing it in like they do and sprinkling it and stuff
this.
Like that. Yeah. And I put cinnamon in with chicken or something like that.
Why? On purpose?
Yeah. I did on purpose.
That's a lot of stuff that happens with like jerk food.
Yeah.
Caribbean. They actually do throw a lot of like sweet spices onto some of their food.
I can tell you this, I ruined dinner.
I believe that.
It was so not good. And my wife always gets on to me too about like how I cook in the kitchen is messy. We found a good structure where now she laughs about it because she used to bother me about it and it would make me mad. I'd be like, I don't want to cook anymore. Like, you just cook then, you know? But now she's finding out, okay, this is just how he is. My mom stayed with us and my mom and I cook the same way. We make little messes. My wife hates that and she wants to clean it up the whole time. I'm like, I'll get it when I'm done. And so the other day she was making something that needed butter cut into the flour. And I'm like, hey, I'll do it for you. I know your shoulder hurts. I'll do it for you. And it was my first dig into the scoop, and I put butter, I put flour over the bowl onto the counter. And she just, and I tried to get really quiet, and I like got in between her and the bowl. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Nothing." She's like, "You spilled flour, didn't you?" I'm like, "Maybe." Like, I'm like, first thing. But then she, but when she handled it differently with me, where she's like, "That's, I, okay, that's," she's learned. Because it's not a thing worth fighting over. It's not like an anger. It's like, you should learn, okay, that's just you. It's going to happen, and you're five. We'll deal with this. And it was, it definitely was a much better time. And we kept cooking together. It was great. So anyway, what's yours, Rock?
I would say, well, Wally, also you had another cooking disaster this morning when you put in a half of a bagel and then burnt it.
To a crisp. It looked like a hockey puck.
Yeah, it was gross. I would say there was one time where it was, I was cooking and it went really well, but I put some stuff down in the garbage disposal and then it stopped working. So I hit the switch like off and on, off and on. All of a sudden it kicked back on and it kicked all the way up to the cabinets that were over the sink. Like, it came up.
Wow, like a volcano.
Yeah, it was
a geyser.
And it smelled so bad. Yeah, it was bad.
I tried to flip a hamburger on a spatula like you'd see a chef do or something.
Like
I flipped
at Waffle House.
Yeah, and I flipped it into the ceiling and stuck to the ceiling.
At your house?
I was a kid. At my grandma. I was at my grandmother's house.
That checks out.
That's great. I've never made too many disastrous decisions in the kitchen, mostly because Haley is smart about kicking me out. She used to be very vocal with, like, get out of my kitchen.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes you guys make yourself a pain so that you don't have to do things.
Yeah, you got it. Works. But I think that the one thing that I did that just felt so dumb was putting a pizza in the oven and then leaving the...
Cardboard
underneath it twice.
Oh, yeah,
where
twice.
Like, I took it out and I like put it on a thing and I was like, man, this is just not cooked right. And I pulled it up. I'm like, man, that is so not cooked. I gotta put it back in real quick. And I just didn't realize that even as I checked to see, I didn't see there was cardboard.
Wow.
And so I did it a second time, pull it back out, and it's, you know, the top has now been crisped and the bottom is still. Man, I am so bad at, like, there's no way I'm, cardboard.
Yeah.
So,
that
was bad.
The smell, too.
It was, ruined the pizza.
I guess I've always kind of liked trying experimenting with food. Like, when I was a kid, I took milk, vanilla, sugar.
Okay. Yeah, this all makes sense. So
raisins.
now we fell off the line.
And
like
peanut butter.
Yeah, we're in like the oatmeal raisin cookie realm here still.
Yeah, I put that all in a glass and I tried to make my mom kept me like, don't do that. You're not gonna like that. You're wasting food. And I'm like, no, it'll be fine. And she made me drink it. Like, it was so bad.
I would have too.
It was so bad.
We should try that again.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Will Gavin drink it?
I don't know.
Ew, those chunky raisins.
Yeah.
Raisins aren't.
I loved raisins. I don't know why I put them in there, but anyway. All right, I think that's gonna do it for our aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.